Their duties are to see that every soul, regardless of his spiritual status, has the opportunity to enter into the kingdom of God here and now. It makes little difference which plane he is upon. It depends on the individual soul to do what he will with the opportunity presented him. All he has to do is recognize it, and thereby he forgets any religion, any creed or faith he has followed, knowing that it is only a step on the way to the Vardhan, the true pathway to God. Then he learns that every soul that is living somewhere in the universes of God is actually a follower of Vardhan. Unless he has planted his feet directly on the path under the guidance of the Mahatma, then he has wasted time and effort. The lower paths of philosophies and religions are necessary, but none will last forever. Soon he will find that upon reaching certain spiritual levels, he will be able to meet with the living Vardhan Master and resolve all his problems both spiritually and physically. He will find that all religions, faiths and philosophies are merely the necessary steps to reach the Vardhan. It is all part of the overall omnipresence of the Vardhan. Nothing can exist but for the Vardhan, and unless one has himself rightly placed within the Vardhan, knowing it for what it is, then he is still on the treadmill of the Kal. He will find that philosophy is merely a psychic means of studying the religions by the intellect. He will know that religion is the means which the Kal has established to take control of the masses. Kal puts emphasis upon the mind and body consciousness so that soul cannot express itself freely. It is only when one goes beyond the intellect into the spiritual arenas is the Vardhan truly known. It becomes the reality, that shining essence of the Hari which cannot be found in worldly eyes, senses and perceptions. It is only found in the true self, that which is known as soul. With it comes the sounds of the flute of the Hari. This is what it is, and none can deprive soul of it once it has been experienced. It is something beyond words and sounds, symbols and signs. 161. Until soul returns again to this state of consciousness, it will always struggle in the meshes of the Kal. It is the purpose of the Kal power to keep soul trapped until it learns truth and starts on the path to perfection, the path of Vardhanka. These are the responsibilities and the mission which God assigned Kal Niranjan. 162. Chapter 11. The Way of Vardhan Perfection. The very reason why most occult, metaphysical and spiritual writings, including the sacred works of religions in this world, fail, is that too many who write them never realize that knowledge alone is not wisdom. A catalogue of facts and opinions does not by itself constitute either literature or perfected works of any nature. Most Oriental religious literature and most Western sacred works lie mainly in the field of knowledge and historical facts. Some parts, of course, contain wisdom, but generally they are only legends and myths expressed in poetic form. In all ways they are merely stating what the writer wants the orthodox followers and readers to believe. The sacred mystery of the Vardhan lies in the initiation of the ninth circle, for when one comes to this level of spiritual growth he does not wish to live in this life anymore. He becomes dead, only to awaken when the body dies. He sees nothing in the sacred writings of orthodox religions, and does not wish to read them or refer to them again. He seeks no glory, no titles in this life, and will reject all those given him. He becomes honest to a point of pain for himself and cannot find happiness in anything in this world. He has no interest in social reform nor the wish to bring about adjustment in this life for the masses, only to see that each soul has the opportunity to gain salvation through Vardhan. Vardhan does not pose as a remedy for the illnesses of this world, but as a path to spiritual freedom only. The Mahatma can change the world and its history, but there is little likelihood that he would ever do this. Every living Vardhan master has come to this world to impart spirituality to a materialistic age. He gives an extra spiritual push to every era of mankind. But there is always a fixed time, 163, for such divine workings, and when the ripe time arrives, each living Vardhan master who has made his appearance in this world during the respective ages of mankind, reveals his true nature to the world. Not one has differed in his essential doctrines. The chief commandments running through the teachings of every living Vardhan master have all been based upon the teachings of the Hari, like a golden thread. Those divine ones came out into the public when their help was most needed, when spirituality was at its lowest ebb in some country of the world or planet, and materialism was apparently victorious. Each living Vardhan master in his respective time laid down the spiritual law over and over again to help those who followed the path of Vardhan. These laws, which are truth, have always existed to lead man to God. But the priestcraft has taken the laws of Vardhan and made them into tenets of organized religions. Therefore, the idealistic spirit and the motive force that prevailed during each period of the living Vardhan masters has all but disappeared under the weight of orthodox dogma. Therefore, the living Vardhan masters always have the responsibility to not establish new religions, cults or mystery schools. Instead, they rejuvenate the religious thoughts of all people, instill a higher understanding of life into them. Those who have been founders of dogmatic religions have passed away, leaving little. Then later somebody invents dogma from the words the founder preached and a religion is established. All religions, regardless of what they are and who founded them, are from the same source, the Vardhan. Vardhan is life itself, the audible life stream. The time is coming that will bring Vardhan to the world as a universal spiritual belief. Mankind will accept it. Vardhan will serve all races of people and all countries. The way is being prepared to enable the Mahatma to deliver the worldwide message. This will come when there is total chaos and confusion everywhere, for then is he needed most by all mankind, when the world is rocking in upheavals, earthquakes, floods and volcanic eruptions, when both east and west are aflame with war. 164, with war. The world must suffer, for the whole world must be redeemed. When such conditions are at their worst, the living Vardhan master will make himself publicly known and declare his mission to the entire world. He shall, by his spiritual powers, speedily bring all conflicts to an abrupt end, bringing peace once more to all nations. Then mankind will rest from all conflicts, on all planets within the world system. No person should require the living Vardhan master to fit his image of what a spiritual giant might be. Few Vardhan masters will ever fit the popular image of what the masses think is a godman. They act independently of the general concept and do as they wish, usually living a life of their own and never bothering anyone. That problem existing among the orthodox religions is a lack of understanding on their part that destroys communications. It is not that disciples of any orthodox religion lack an opportunity to communicate, but most are intolerant of Vardhan. Most orthodox followers believe in their traditional faith. This gives each, they think, all the answers to life and its problems. Therefore they refuse to accept any Vardhan Kila's point of view. This is dangerous in the lower worlds, and it is, of course, a trap of the Gal Force. Thus the Vardhan Kila must proceed with caution when he wishes to pass out the message of Vardhan to others. Few want to listen because they have been steeped in their religious traditions and believe that everything else is wrong. Their founder's name has become a part of the woof and warp of their lives, and if anyone speaks of anything being greater than him, there is danger. This is why it is courageous to be a Vardhanist. But the Vardhanist must sacrifice and go forth to spread the message of Vardhan Ka. He knows there are dangers because the Gal Force will use any of those who are wrapped in orthodox religions to get rid of him. They will do it in some manner or other, if at all possible. But the Vardhanist must know that life cannot bring about all that he wants to do about Vardhan. He knows though, that if the Vardhan uses him as a channel all will be well. Consequently he cares little for what happens to his human body, for nothing can stop him. He cares little if, 165, all things in his material world are taken away. If he loses everything but himself, nothing matters but spreading the message of Vardhan. The strange influence of the Mahatma on all who see him in person, or as a spiritual being when they can open their spiritual eye and see him in the Atma body, is indeed fascinating. Those who can feel reverence for the spiritual quality in him without belief in Vardhan are indeed rare. But ignorance of his spiritual greatness does not bar materialistic persons from tasting the radiant influence of spirituality emanating from him. Those who come to the living Vardhan Master and say that they are inclined to follow his teachings are told to associate with the ones whom he believes have had spiritual experiences. Contact with such will assist in bringing out latent spirituality in anyone. Those who have had such experiences are usually muddies, the initiates of the fifth plane. Therefore, the society of such people is very important as the first step, and often it is the last, as the Margatma often will say to seekers of the Hari. The Madhis are above the mental plane, therefore they are not to practice magic. This includes both black and white magic, for the practitioner will come to regret it if he does. He will learn that the use of magic for anything regardless of what it might be will bring effects that are not good. If he uses it to heal others or to injure anyone, then it is wrong. In healing anyone with a bodily affliction, it is the Vardhan that does so, not the magic which is part of the universal mind power, or that known as the Gal Force. When the Madhis reaches this level of spiritual enfoldment, he must then begin to let the Vardhan use him completely as a channel. Then he starts to become all things to all people. To those under the law he becomes as one under the law, though not being himself under the law. To those outside the law he becomes as one outside the law. To the weak he becomes weak, and to the strong he becomes strong. Thereby he becomes all things to all men in order to help and possibly lead some to the Margatma, the living Vardhan Master. Life for the Madhis becomes a cinema play unrolling its episodes from the cradle to the grave. Instead of seeking, 166, truth through any of the psychic means, he looks for the real, the enduring, the eternal principles of Vardhan. Do not look for Vardhan in the illusionary, for it is never there. The power of Vardhan can conquer any aberration of life. Millions labor under the illusion that their emptiness, their guilt, their lack of purpose, is due to their material and environmental associations. If any lack purpose in the Vardhan, then life will become dull for them. It is contemplation and belief in the Margatma that can bring about a new life. It is only the Margatma who can cleanse soul and forgive all that has been created in this world of materialistic values. He gives each soul a new challenge and purpose. He brings about the imperishable things which man has created for himself. When the Kila has taken away all his false concepts of life and sees only the divine sense, then he no longer runs after another man's opinion. He understands and knows truth. Whosoever looks deeply into himself and perceives only discontent, frailty, darkness and fear, need not be afraid nor curl his lips in scorn, but let him seek the Margatma, who can be found within his heart. It is then that he will become aware of the Vardhan and its purposes with him. He will learn that his own divine nature will reveal itself in him, and that he will no longer walk indifferently. He will learn that no one is excluded from the divine nature of the Vardhan consciousness, that it is only man that excludes himself from it. It is the man who thinks he may live as freely as his unconsidered desires prompt him who does not see the reckoning of such an attitude. He is binding his life to a hollow dream if he persists in this thought. If he has had the experience of knowing his true self, there will never be any hatred for another. Anyone with ego consciousness often confuses this with self-knowledge or self-realization. He takes it for granted that if he has ego consciousness, then he knows himself. But the ego knows only its own contents, not the true self and its contents. It knows only human and psychic knowledge, and only too often those in this state measure their knowledge by what the average person in their social environment knows of them. Psychic and social facts are, for the most part, 167, what goes in the human psyche. One is always coming up against prejudice that such a thing does not happen with him or in his environment, and on the other hand, he meets with equally illusory assumptions about the presence of qualities which merely serve to cover up the true facts of such cases. Therefore, the concept of unity, which is supposedly to embrace the universe and all its action, is titanic in scope and potential. He who dares to examine this concept soon discovers that it leads into something too great for understanding, for it leads to the Vardhan. An alternative becomes imperative, for if he is an extremist, he abandons normal life to become a hermit. If he finds this too impossible, he rejects his ideal completely and lives the unexamined life with all its unhappy consequences. The only good solution both personally and socially, then, is compromise. Man must particularize and reduce his God to a form that he can handle, thereby distorting and sometimes obliterating the original image. When man is allowed to proceed naturally with the reduction of his God's image, it is always with the social and political attainments of the civilization of his times. Every religion in the world has evolved 100 species to fit man's image of the various types of gods that he seeks. All this attests to the needs of man for what is known as the examined life. These compromises are vitiated by the panaceas that lead to dogma. But if anyone should recognize the fallacies in the dogma of the orthodox religions, he usually comes into an understanding of the Vardhan. Man insists upon talk and exposition, but the Vardhan cannot be put into words. Sometimes, however, a profusion of images and metaphors are used by the Vardhan masters. The problem here, however, is that a spoken language is the expression of the girl, and it presents a hardship of how to get a positive image in the demonstration of Vardhan to this world. Philosophy and religion describe the Hare in negative language. Neither deny it, but both are emphatic too often that the existence of reality is not true. Actually, there is no vocabulary that gives any truth to the existence of reality. Reality being truth, though the Vardhan Kila finds so many, 168, interpretations of truth that he cannot help from being confused. He tries to get into the heart of truth, but it is always avoiding him in some manner because he cannot get any mental grasp on it. This is the problem of language, for it exists only on the mental realm to express itself vocally to the external world. Since truth is beyond the mental realm, it cannot be grasped except through the internal vision. This is why Vardhanka can be described as the everlasting gospel. It is not available to the senses of the body, the function of the mind that discriminates and decides. Chitta, the function which takes note of form and beauty, sees these things in truth but is unable to pass it along to the body. Manas, the other function of the mind called the mind stuff, universal mind power, has the power to receive feeling and taste. Buddhi is thought. It must discriminate and decide which is best to give to the outer world as a good representation of itself. But the same problem arises, for the mind does not allow for anything but itself if left alone. It causes man in the masses to find dynamic living too difficult and fatiguing. He requests codification and legalism and for somebody to provide them. To reach out for anything beyond this is too much for his senses and his understanding. This is what makes the Vardhanist a special person, for he is in the Vardhan, and living in dynamic dimensions. He knows that peace does not come when an oligarchy, a government, or some ruler decrees peace and order through ossified rituals of legislation. Every Vardhanist knows that this sort of external peace and order will sooner or later flounder, creating difficulties and eventual destruction for itself. It has nothing to do with the Hare and its works. It is something which exploits the masses for its own interest, for behind all this is the girl, trying to trap the mind and soul of every individual possible. To be an adherent of a creed is not always a religious matter, but more often a social one. As such, it does nothing to give the individual values. For support, he must depend exclusively on his relation with the Vardhan, an authority which is not of this world. No lofty principles, nor creeds of orthodox religions lay the spiritual foundation of the Vardhan Kila. It is simply empirical awareness, the incontrovertible experi, 169, experience of an intensely personal, reciprocal relationship between the Kila and the Margatma. This has nothing to do with either the physical world, reason, or logic, as human consciousness knows. But it does have everything to do with the Vardhan consciousness. A clear distinction must be made between what is essential in Vardhanka and what is haphazard. The Vardhan doctrine has naturally been preserved in a form suited to those souls it could reach since the beginning of the universes. This is especially true in the lower worlds. Many have been called, but few are able to comprehend and understand the Vardhan. These souls are then consciousnesses that are open to the Vardhan for gaining awareness. They serve the lower worlds, or wherever soul is needed. Every Vardhan Kila must grasp the tools of the spiritual works of Vardhanka in the field of mystical experiences. He must know there are two types of spiritual experience, both of which are found in the works of Vardhan. First is the extrovertive spiritual experience, and second is the introvertive type. Both are apprehensions of the full experience of the divine reality. But they are reached in different ways. The extrovertive way is how it is described in name, for it is looking outward and through the physical senses into the external world, finding there the greater experience of the divine reality. The introvertive way turns inward, with an introspective manner of seeing through the inner senses and eyes to find the greater experience of the divine reality at the top of and beyond human consciousness. Naturally, this type of experience should outweigh the extrovertive way in importance. In the course of human history, it becomes a major source of dependency for decisions and changes of events and nations. The extroverted seeker with his physical manner, including the five external senses, will perceive the same world of trees, hills, concrete roads and household furniture, as most people generally do. But he sees something which the average person does not see. He observes that these objects are transformed into something through which the Vardhan shines to illuminate his senses. So many of those who have been called 170 mystics and seekers of God have found this experience in blades of grass, wood and stone. These types of extrovertive mystics have always pointed out that God is everything. The extrovertive seeker has the ability to know and separate the Vardhan from the material things of life. Yet he can see that the Vardhan is the very substance of all life in such things. This puts him above the average man who has mere understanding, which alone does not qualify him to see the Vardhan as the whole or the divine reality. This understanding of the extrovertive mystic passes beyond the sensory intellectual consciousness into the conceptual intellect. However, the distinction between the Vardhan and these things has not wholly disappeared. The extrovertive mystic is generally one who finds all things identical, such as grass being the same as stone, although each is different. Mostly these are the poets, metaphysicians and religious writers. What they are saying is a complete paradox. It is in fact contradictory. But paradoxism is one of the common characteristics of all mysticism. It is because the Kila is dealing with the elements of psychic power, better known as the Gal force. The Gal always deals in mystery and paradox, for everything in its universe consists of dichotomy. The Gal is always presenting the two sides of the coin in order to bring about confusion and complexity. This is what causes any mystic to question the affairs of the Hare. The dichotomy always brings about questions because few within the human consciousness understand the two-sided views of life. The mystic is not a Vardhanist, for neither is a Vardhanist ever a mystic. The mystic is one who has never gone beyond the mental worlds. He deals in the mystification of the spirito-psychic worlds. The true worlds of the Hare, which lie above the Atmalok, have no complication nor mystery. They are what they are. The whole element of these worlds is simply truth. When one has moved into these worlds and placed himself upon one of these planes, he is therefore part of them, and never questions. All things are as they are because it is proper and fitting for them to be this way. He never questions, never indulges in the mystification of life, but leaves all things as they are. He knows that the 171 extrovertive mystic is simply a psychic who has gained a little more insight than most seekers, and that he is halfway on the path to reaching the fifth plane. This is the experience of the sensory intellectual. It sees only what has been granted it, a perception of the world as being transfigured and unified in a single reality. Some identify this single reality as God and others do not, but it all ties in with the same thing, the Vardhan. In most societies, however, this type of experience tends toward pantheism. Nevertheless, the experience of the extrovert is important in making headway on the path of Vardhan. Yet it is not the end of the means, as so many believe. The success of the introvertive experience depends on shutting out all physical sensations from one's consciousness. Average men believe this to be easy. One can shut one's eyes, stop up one's ears, and hold the nose. He can avoid taste sensations by keeping the mouth closed and empty. But no one can shut off tactile sensations in any simple way, for it is difficult to be rid of organic sensations. But this is what the Kila must learn to do to enjoy the subjective, that is, the introvertive experience. He must learn to thrust tactile and organic sensations out of his conscious awareness, into the unconscious. Neither does he go to the trouble of holding his nose, stopping his eyes and emptying the mouth. The only thing he does is to close his eyes and close out all organic sensations. After this is done, the Kila then drops all sensuous images from his mind. This is the most difficult part of the contemplative exercises, but it is possible. After this, one stops the thinking and reasoning processes within himself. Having gotten rid of the whole empirical content of sensations, images, thoughts, and presumably all emotions, desires and volitions will disappear, since they normally exist only as attachments to cognitive awareness. All the consciousness of human awareness will then have disappeared. Often the Kila will go to sleep when this happens, or become unconscious. The total suppression of the whole content of human consciousness is what the introverted mystic makes claim to achieve. He claims that the sensory intellectual consciousness disappears and is replaced by an entirely new kind of consciousness which he calls the 172 mystical consciousness. Although the yogis and many of the Eastern mystics use this modus operandi, it turns to be the wrong way to reach the spiritual consciousness. There is a difference between spiritual consciousness and mystic consciousness. The former is the highest, when one reaches and enters into the state above the Atmalok, the fifth plane. The latter only reaches and enters into the mental realm. Samadhi, a mystical state of consciousness, belongs in this area of the psychic worlds. But Nirvikalpa, a spiritual state of consciousness, belongs in the area of the true Vardhan worlds. This leads to detachment, which eventually takes the Kila through the varied initiations into the ninth, when he becomes a member of the order of Bhisharan, the Vardhan masters. When one reaches the Samadhi state of consciousness, he becomes one with the Gal, but it appears that he is at one with the divine source of life, the Hari. This is why many have said that the Godhead is pure nothingness, a desert, and a wilderness. Here again the mystic is explaining in metaphors that are useless to the Kila. He needs no explanation of the Hari and the Vardhan, for within the worlds of the true spiritual universe, it is light and sound. This is all there is. One does not need to find explanations for light and sound, for there are none. Soul knows and understands instantly what goes on in the world of the Hari, and never questions. He just knows and cannot call it either religion or philosophy. Also, in the study of inner world experiences, most men believe that the mystical experience and the religious experience are the same, and actually neither of these are the same as the Vardhan experience. There is an important connection between mysticism and religion, but not nearly so direct and immediate as most have seemed to think. The mystical experience has been described here, but the experience of the religionist is of some undifferentiated unity which is interpreted as union with God. But this is only the interpretation and is not the experience itself. The great problem here is that most souls do not have a sufficiently analytical faculty to distinguish between the experience and the interpretation. The Vardhanist usually has this training so that when he comes into an experience of this nature, he is, 173, able to distinguish between the real, the pseudo-real, and the non-real. The introverted experience often gives the experiencer the feeling of melting away into infinity. The religionist will experience a blazing light which seems to be the center of all things, but each is reaching the same point in the high mental plane, and is being deceived by the Kalnaranjan. The Vardhanist enters into the Atmalok, the fifth plane, with the assistance of the living Vardhan master. He is not at all misled by the Gal into believing that the Brahman world, mental plane, is the ultimate of all planes. Neither does he believe that the Sagana Brahma plane, which is the unconscious world, is the last of the path. He knows that the path of Vardhan ends in the Hari. He will strive onward until reaching this world, this ocean of love and mercy. Nothing will or can hold him back, for it is the guidance of the living Vardhan master which takes him into the highest worlds of all, where he receives his spiritual mission and becomes a co-worker with the Hari. Whether the seeker determines it or not, it is true that the mystical experience will bring him into intimate association with the religion, culture and the civilization of his times. It does not have any tendency to make him a member of any particular creed or sect. but it will not basically change his traits. If he is a Hindu, he will remain a Hindu. If Chinese, he will remain Chinese. He will believe in whatever is the scripture of his particular society and civilization. His background and religious tendencies will be part of the culture to which he belongs, and his faith in the religious scriptures of his country will be the guidepost and the strength for his spiritual drive.